Well, today we are going to begin looking at a circumcised life in our homes. But we are going to begin looking at a circumcised life in our homes. What does it mean to live a circumcised life in our homes? So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I think this is kind of amazing for myself because I have taught out of the book of Ephesians more than any other book of the Bible in my ministry. Okay? I've talked to other pastors, and they'll talk about the different books that they preach on and which ones that they keep coming back to. But it amazes me because when I think about what a pastor teaches, we teach salvation, but then outside of salvation, because that's your number one, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ is your number one scripture that you always go to. But then the second thing we're supposed to teach is, now that you are saved, how do you live? Well, that's Ephesians, okay? It's everywhere else in the Bible. It's in the book of Proverbs, it's in the book of Psalms, it's in the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, it's in the book of Leviticus, and that's the law. It's in the book of Joshua, it's in the book of Matthew and Mark, it's in the book of Galatians and Corinthians. But when you really want to know the foundational material where God has put it together and said, look, it's all over here, but now I'm going to give it to you all at one spot, and then you can find the other pieces from here, all right? That's Ephesians. And it begins in Ephesians in the fourth chapter. That's where I'm going to be beginning with you today, in Ephesians in the fourth chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, it amazes me because, again, those of you who know me know I can't preach for a half hour on more than 6 verses of Scripture. Okay? When I do Bible study, we never get more than 6 verses of Scripture done in an hour and 15 minutes. How about it, crew? Well, today I'm doing 3 chapters. So hang on. It'll be lunch when we leave. No, I'm just kidding. Because lunch is right now. Let us feast on the Word of God. From verse 1, chapter 4, the book of Ephesians. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The statement that Paul is making here, and we're not done because we're going to read on. I'm halting there for a moment. The statement that Paul is making there to us is a statement made to the body of Christ. Okay? Paul is speaking to the body. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's not speaking to individual believers. He is speaking to the body. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. And in that, he is telling us that we are to be of one mind, that we are to be of one being, because there's one God. There's one mediator between God and man, and we know that to be Christ Jesus. And as we are in that one body, one unity, we are to have a bond of peace. What is that bond of peace? That bond of peace is the Holy Spirit who controls us. So we don't think of our own needs, but we think on the needs of everybody else. In your body, if there is a portion in your body that has an infection, what happens to the rest of your body? Does anybody know? I have several nurses here. They can verify this. Okay? Well, I have one nurse here. I've got one actual working nurse. See, I knew that. You're retired. Marion says, I'm not a nurse anymore. No. I'm retired. What happens to the body? It's an amazing process. If you have an infection in one area, your body begins to take nutrients and oxygen and everything else from the rest of your body and move it to that area that needs health and healing. That's how we, the body, are supposed to act. When there is an area of the body that has need, we, the body, are to see to it that that area is given the most resources. And it's the same way in your household, okay? Because, again, I'm going to be laying foundational material here before we get into the home stuff, what happens in your home life, because I have to lay a lot more foundation before we can move on. But as we see this bond of peace, as the Holy Spirit draws us, we're of one mindset, and we understand that, you know, some of us have to suffer a little bit for others. How does that grab you? How does that sing into the world that is around us that says, it's all about me? I can have it my way. That's not what God says. God says we are to think of others more so than ourselves, that we should look to the betterment of the other. That's why the church is to take care of widows and orphans and those who are weak and sick, okay? Because they're the ones who need help. They're the ones who need lifting up. God's already lifting us up. If we've got it good, why are we looking for better? I think it's funny because it's exactly what we've been taught in America. If you have it good, get it better. And that's all about me. You know, I used to be like that. I used to be like that because I used to live in my family, in my home, with my wife and with our son. In fact, even before Russell. And, you know, I wanted everything with all the toys. You know, ain't none of us ever been there, right? I wanted everything with all the toys. Had the farm, had the tractor, the manure spreader, the you know, hydrostatic lawnmower, you name it, boy, we had it. 15 or 12 acres and everything that went with it, okay? We went from the pigs to the poop. We had it all. And guess what God did with that? He said, give it to me. That's what you built. Yeah, my soul phone was definitely ringing. And it was so amazing because he said, I want to give you something of much more value. And I'm thinking, oh man, I'm going to get rich. See, what I forgot is I've been rich all my life. So he decided to make me wealthy. And he gave me, and I never understood this, he says in his scripture that Jesus is of more wealth than gold, much refined gold. And I'm thinking, what's more valuable than gold? Much refined gold. And God gave me a whole bunch of diamonds in the rough. And he said, now work with these as I work with you. As I polish you, as I facet you, help me to facet them. And he's given me a treasure worth more than anything I could ever hope for in my life. That's each and every one of you. Your soul is worth so much more than any refined gold will ever be. And that's the way we need to look at our families, as screwed up as they are. How many of us are families perfect? You know, Miss Amy was getting ready. Yeah, mine's screwed up. No, mine's good. And it's like, oh, he's not going that way. I'll put my hand down. I'm so grateful for Miss Amy. She's just ready to jump in there. And we all need to be ready to jump in there, right? Because when our families need it, we need to remember that they're worth it. They may not be worth it where they are, but if they will come to Christ, they'll be worth so much more. And that's what I'm getting at, because Man, I'll tell you, when I had my farm, oh man, I was making money. I don't think we were putting any money in the bank because we were making mortgage payments and just buying all the toys. And now, I need enough to pay my bills, enough to get through, because the rest of my investment is you out into our community, out into our world. Because you know, this church is touching lives. Talk to Ryan. We have people watching our videos from Japan. We have people from New Zealand and Australia. Right now, within a couple weeks, I'm going to say hi, Annette, and hi, Weldy, and hello, Alan and Sandy, because I know there are people in Western Pennsylvania who are watching every video that we produce and put out on the internet. We have a church that is bigger than we know, because we have people listening and being moved by who we are, and they're joining with us. And they're our family too. I wish they would connect with us and pray with us, you know, send us some correspondence. And, you know, if you're out there watching, please send your prayer requests. We want to know what's going on so we can pray for you, because that's part of being this family, that we have this bond of peace that goes beyond ourselves and into this world. But let's move forward. It says from verse 10, "He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things." Again, this is talking about Christ and our head, the one who we're supposed to be following. "And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." Each and every one of us here has been given gifts. We all have gifts, and those gifts are to edify one another, to build us up as a body. It's the same way in your household, okay? Husbands, you're supposed to be the head of your house. Ladies, I know some of you don't care for that, you don't like that. Tough, suck it up, talk to the Creator, not me. All right? It's where God says it is. And if it's the other way around in your household and you're thinking things are messed up, why are things messed up? Because he keeps doing it? Wrong chicken. Get things in the right order and you'll be surprised what God will do. Now, ladies, does that mean that everything your husband says you got to do? No wonder you're in so much trouble. No. What it means is the two of you discuss those issues, right? And as we're going to learn earlier, we submit one to another in reverence for Christ. Because between the two of you, you come to a decision. Then it's the man's responsibility to enforce that decision. Okay? Again, it's understanding headship and how it works. When we follow the gifts, when we take what is given to us and we operate in those gifts, far better things will happen in our lives. Because if you are using a gift that you don't have, okay, let's say you want to make Chinese dumplings, okay, are you going to get out the Big Daddy fryer or are you going to get out the wok? You get out the wok. That's what you cook Chinese food in. But why is it that we all get out the Big Daddy fryer and we wonder why these things taste like, and they weigh 5 tons, you know, because they're so full of grease? If you don't use the right gift, if you aren't using the right tool, okay, guys, you know, how many of us have used a wrench instead of a hammer? You know, and we wonder why we break things. Again, Rick's like, oh man, he's talking to me. I'm going to pick on him all day today. We have to use the right gifts. God gives us the gifts. Use them in accordance to what is given you. Moving on. "Until we all attain unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." How many of us have come to the full place of knowledge in Jesus Christ? None of us. Not even me. I'm far from it. You know, the more I learn about the Bible, the more I realize how dumb I really am. Not dumb, ignorant. Okay? I teach our youth this all the time. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant. Jesus came to cure ignorance. Okay? The Word of God is here to cure ignorance. And as we submit ourselves to that Word, we become enlightened. Truly enlightened people. I'm not talking the enlightenment of this age. I'm talking the enlightenment of God. And we're going to see that because we're supposed to live as children of light. Moving forward. Each of us, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Now, when it says all aspects there, we're going to be talking about some of those aspects over these next couple weeks. Again, we're going to be talking about home life here in just a moment. But we're also going to be talking about work life and our church life. And we're going to be talking about our individual private lives, okay? And what they are to look like and where they are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God as we live this circumcised life. Because without a circumcised heart, you cannot live a circumcised life. You will live a life of the world. And that is not something that I take lightly. That is something that happens to every one of us, okay? There are times that we all walk outside of our circumcision of Christ. And I pray as we get more and more and more and more mature in Christ, that time becomes less and less and less and less. Amen? Because I'll tell you right now, every time you step out into the world, you are stepping out into a world of hurt. And we all know that. We all see what's out there. And we have to remember that Christ's circumcision is here to protect us. And that's one of the things, you know, people ask me all the time, how you doing, Pastor? I'm behaving myself. What am I telling them? I'm trying to walk in my circumcision, okay? The circumcision of my heart, done by Christ. Not one done in the flesh, not something I've done, but something He's done, a supernatural thing that He has done in me, the transformation of my heart, all right? Moving on. From whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In Christ, we are all built up. In Christ, when we come together as a family, especially, we will find that there is a unity in us that helps us get through all situations. When we look at the church, it's the same thing. When we look at work, it's the same thing. As we supply the manpower, God supplies the heart, and we are transformed, that each of us can take care of a portion, not all of it. You know, hey guys, how many of us can take care of all the needs of our wives? Half of us don't even know what they are. Even when we're having a conversation with them. You know, so many times I tell husbands, guy, she doesn't want you to fix her, just listen. You know, she doesn't want you to go beat up her boss. Okay, just listen and shut up. Don't say a word. When she's done, smile and nod and say, let's pray, honey. You will win kudos. And ladies, when your husband seems like he is not interested, it's simply because he's completely lost and has no idea what to do. Okay? These are secrets. Shh. We just want you to think we're indifferent, right? That's just a man. He has no emotions. No, we have no idea. And I'm not afraid to admit that. Because as we go, God will go with us. If we go in God, all right? And when we supply each other's needs, when we are built up, when we see that everything fits together, you know, guys, we don't have to be our wife's Savior, do we? We all have one Savior, and His name's Jesus Christ. And He takes away the cares of this world. I don't have to take them away. I just need to be there. You know, there's a story out there of a little girl who was praying and talking and what have you, and her mom said, well, you know, you just need to take this to the Lord. And she was talking to her mom, and she says, but Mommy, every now and then, I need God to have flesh on. And you know, folks, I want you to think about something. There are some times when somebody needs you to be God with flesh on, okay? Because they need a shoulder to cry on. They need somebody just to hold their hands, because they, just because you're there and you want to love them, all right? You're letting God come out of you to touch another life and to be that one that is there. God is always here, but remember, a lot of times God is here in you for another human being, okay? That's not hard to conceive, is it? Moving on. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. That's vanity, okay? Don't walk in vanity. Don't think about self so much anymore, but begin to think about others. Because they are being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They are not able to feel, all right? And again, what I say about ignorance? Jesus came to cure ignorance, to give us light, to open up our eyes to the things of spiritual truth. From verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Jesus said that if we wish to live, we must deny ourselves. So that means when your body is telling you, and I'm going to use the simplest of things, all right? When your body is telling you at 12 o'clock at night, chocolate cake, you say, no. Vanilla ice cream. No. You deny yourself. You look at the thing. There's nothing wrong with chocolate cake or vanilla ice cream. They're good in and of themselves. But when you overindulge, that becomes a bad thing, right? That's my point. We need to be able to look at our lives and realize that Jesus Christ has given us the power to say no to the things that have controlled us. That we can deny ourselves. We can deny the old flesh because Christ has set us free from it. And then we need to walk in the righteousness of Christ. So when we have that desire to do that thing that our parents have warned us about and told us not to do, and all of a sudden we're faced with it, and we're like, but nobody will see, and nobody's going to know, and it's not going to hurt anybody. Wow. It has already begun to take root in you, and it will lead to destruction. That is a truth that cannot be avoided. We have got to understand when Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, it is for our own good. Okay? And we're going to see some of that as we move forward here, because God has a really big word here for us. From verse 25, it says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin, but do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Again, that's what I just spoke. How many of us can be angry and yet not sin? Because generally when we get angry, we say things that we shouldn't have said. We let our anger control us rather than us taking control of where we are. Jesus was angry in the temple. Did he lash out at anyone verbally? No, he didn't say a word. He drove them out of the temple because they didn't belong in the temple, selling pigeons and trading monies, etc., etc. The temple was to be a place of prayer, and they had turned it into a marketplace. So we need to remember that there is righteous anger. There is an anger that you don't sin in. And that's where we need to walk. we need to remember that when we walk in anger and we allow that anger to take hold of us, we're allowing Satan to start a root in us, okay? And when that root takes hold, it will grow until a deadly vine. You know, the biggest of tree can be killed by a vine that is not even one-tenth its size. I want you to think about that. Because all you have to do, you know, I spend a lot of time out in the woods, and so do a lot of you other guys out there, and you've seen it, where a vine will grow up around a tree, a big tree, and it'll grow all the way up into the branches. And if it can't choke the tree out by strangling it, it'll literally overgrow the leaves so that the tree's leaves don't get any sun. If it can't strangle it, it'll dark it out, that it won't get any sun and kill it. And that's what happens in our own lives. It'll either strangle us out or it'll rob us of the light of Jesus Christ, and we will die. God puts these things in His creation. Why do you think they're in His creation? But to teach us spiritual truth. To see that in this natural world, God is showing us who He is and how things operate. Because God created it. And it's real. We then, who live in this world, are to see to it, from verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Don't get lazy. We're supposed to be about the work of God, right? We're to have something to do with our own hands, not relying on others to take care of our needs solely. We're to have something to give back, okay? We need to be involved. There are so many people that go to church, but they don't come to church. Do you understand that? They go to church because they go to get something, but they don't come to be the church. There's a difference. We need to come to the church, prepared to give of ourselves to others. If you're not involved in a ministry, you need to get involved in a ministry. If you're not doing something to help others, I'm telling you, there are opportunities abounding in our world where you can begin to help others. And God will reward you richly. Because it won't be financially, but it will be in spirit and in heart. And that is worth far more than gold. And I just spoke that earlier. And then he also says, no unwholesome talk is to proceed from your mouth, but only a word which is good for edification. I think it's amazing when I think about the body of Jesus Christ. If we don't get our way, we start to what? Starts with a C. Complain. Complain. Okay? We're going to the airport. Complain. You know? We need to understand that when we start speaking these unwholesome things, and believe me, church, you're speaking them. How do I know that? Your kids talk to me. I hear what they say. I think it is so amazing. You want to know just where a church is? Talk to the teenagers. You'll find out real quick. Because it's not the teenagers who have the problem. It's their parents. And they pass it on to their kids. Yeah, I'm talking to you, peoples. And it's one of the most amazing things. Just wait. You know, you guys are just starting your family, so you have no idea yet. But just wait. You think that, you know, they're like little toddlers now and running around and one in the oven baking. Y'all know that, right? Good stuff. But it's going to be so cool because when they're both over here and they're past that toddler age and you think that, oh, we got them through and they're about this big, man, that's when they're going to be telling the world about you. That's when they're going to be telling the world about you. Everything that they are is a reflection of what we have put into them. Amen. And it's so amazing because they truly do become that very thing. So we need to remember, folks, if you have a teenager that's a problem, you built it. Now, yes, some of us had help, right? You remember what your teenage years were. There's outside influences, amen? So we can't put it all on the parents, amen? We can't. But some of it we can, because that's where it belongs. But then we also need to understand that when we start talking about these things, when we start seeing what's happening in our church, we start correcting it, all right? Because we correct our kids, don't we? Your mom corrected you, didn't she? How'd that go for you, Bob? Took till you were in your 30s, right? Till you were in your 20s, right? And then, 30. Beg pardon, 30s? Okay, yeah. The wife is telling us the truth here. She says, what are you talking about? He's still, oh, no. But as we submit to those things, they will slowly begin to change us, okay? And as we begin to speak good words, words of encouragement, they will begin to have a ripple effect, okay? You know, one of the things, you know, I would like to tell you all what I really think of you. You're wonderful people. You're all screwed up, but you're wonderful people. Is there any of us that isn't screwed up? Ask me, Pastor, are you screwed up? Boy, yeah, that's me. We are. We're a mess. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He knows we're a mess, and he came into our mess, and he spoke nothing but good things. On the cross, he spoke 7 words. Were any of them bad? Not one. Not one. Every word he spoke from the cross was a word of power and transformation. That's who we need to be. That's what we need to be. Moving on. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. In other words, he's saying here, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You need to start walking in forgiveness, okay? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I think that's some amazing phraseology, because if we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is upset, that he is mourning. To grieve is to mourn. We mourn a death. Because what is happening when we do these things is we are literally seeing God say, oh my goodness, death is still in him. And he's mourning that death that is still in us. And we need to come out of there. We need to get rid of the bitterness. We need to get rid of the rage. We need to get rid of the anger. We need to get rid of the slander. We need to get rid of the malice. And walk in truth, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I believe these things are called fruits of the Spirit. And as we see the fruits of the Spirit coming up in our lives, it will be amazing what grows. Because the fruits have to come from something. And they come from the life of Christ. They come from the goodness of God that produces the fruits. And that's you when we submit, when we become. Therefore, from chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality and impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an adulterer has an inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ Jesus. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. when we think about where we are and who we're supposed to be in our home life, each and every one of us is supposed to be an imitator of God. As you, husband, are doing your duty, who are you supposed to emulate? Jesus Christ. You, wife, as you are about the things of your life, being a mom, you know, taking care of the things that you take care of, and I'm not going to say, you know, you women, you're supposed to be home barefoot and pregnant. That just doesn't work anymore, not in our world. Amen? It has come to a place in our society where it is so difficult to have a family with mortgages and everything that's out there and have a stay-at-home mom. It's just hard. Some people are doing it. Praise Jesus that you're able to. And for those of us who can't because of our situations, we need to remember that, ladies, it's fine to be out there in the work world. It's great to have a companion who's able to help carry the load. Amen? Man, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that I don't have a stay-at-home wife that all she does is sit around, you know, cleaning the house and watching soap operas. That was my mom. 11 o'clock they would start. I think the first one, what was the first one called? Days of Our Lives. Okay? And then, you know, it would go, every hour there was a new one. Until 3 o'clock. 4 hours. And Mom would sit there for 4 hours. And it was funny because every now and then she'd be running the vacuum, watching the TV. That one spot in the living room was so clean. You know, I'm picking on my mom now, of course. She's in glory, praise Jesus. And she can take it. She's got broad shoulders now. But we need to understand, God has a way for us, and He wants us to understand that we must not speak in any other ways but to be God in our lives, in all that we do, wherever we are, whether at home or at work, okay? We are to emulate Christ. To be imitators of Him. We are not to be imitators of this world, complaining and groping and moaning and longing for something that we don't have. You know, I'm sorry, folks, you're not going to have the Ferrari. You know, I'm sorry, folks, you're not going to have the mansion on the hilltop. You know, I'm sorry, folks, but some of us just don't get that lot in life. Amen? But are we being responsible with the lot that we have been given? Are we being good stewards of what we do have? Because God never wastes anything. God never wastes anything. He uses it to its fullest potential. And are you willing to let Him use you to your fullest potential? That's what we're being asked here. But the Scripture goes on. I got to look at my time. But the Scripture goes on. And He says, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awaken, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When we walk in darkness, when we walk in our flesh, when we walk in our sin, that darkness holds on to us, and we become captive by it. We are prisoners to sin, okay? But when we walk in light, even if you screw up, please hear that. Even when you make the worst mistake of your life, if you are willing to admit it before God, God will set you free from it because now you've brought it into light and it no longer has mastery over you. Amen. Isn't that the truth of it? You may not like it because, oh my goodness, you mean I got to confess that thing out loud and people got to hear about it and know about it? Well, if they're truly in Christ, are they going to hold it against you? No. If they're in Christ, they're going to sing hallelujahs because you're confessing a sin that now no longer has control over you. You can be free from, and now you can move on into the glory of God in such a manner that the freedom that you know will help free other people from the very same darkness that they find themselves in. When we walk in light, we are truly set free from everything that binds us. And I'm going to tell you right now, I could go through here because I know you folks, and I could literally pick out a couple people and say, now, you and I have talked about that. We've brought it before the Lord. You've confessed it up. And how do you feel now? And I can tell you right now, because I know you and I've been there with you, most of you, if not all of you, because some of you are still going through the crap. Okay, yeah, I just said that because that's what it is. Once you're through it, does it hold you anymore? Absolutely not. You have been freed from it. Now, does that mean that there won't be discipline for the stuff we go through? No, there's going to be. God takes away the curse of it when we bring it to the light. God does not take away the consequence of it here on earth. Okay? We will pay the consequence here on earth because that's why we have laws, that's why we have rules, that's why we're moral people. Because if you do something immoral, you're going to pay the price. Whether it be jail, whether it be disciplined by your parents, I believe the scripture has something to say about that, doesn't it? In the book of Hebrews, it says something about discipline and remembering that God disciplines His children because our parents discipline those that they love, and so too our Heavenly Father disciplines us, because if He doesn't discipline us, then we are illegitimate children. But as it is, we are children of the Most High God. So therefore, view all hardship as discipline, for God is showing us His love poured out from heaven above. Can I get an amen? Wow, isn't it amazing? A lot of it has to do with our attitude. How are you going to look at this thing? What direction are you going to seek it from? And what are you going to allow to affect you? Light or darkness? Light sets you free. Darkness holds you captive. Moving on. How many of you are enjoying this teaching so far? Very good. Because this next section is the most taught section of the Bible that I use outside of the books that tell us of salvation. This next section, verses 15 through 21, I teach more than any pieces. I have taught this piece of scripture to each and every one of you probably 300 times. Now, I've used the book of Romans. I've used the book of Galatians. I've used the book of Corinthians. I've used. But this is the scripture that I teach. This is what God has told me to do to prepare His people. What's it say? Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. Now, in the NIV, I like the way it reads, verse 16, it says, make the most of your time. No, it says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We're told there that we are to walk as wise, not as unwise. Our world walks in a very unwise way. Our world walks after self, to promote self, to do everything for self. And because of that, we have a world that is completely isolated, broken down. Families don't communicate anymore, because we walk as unwise. But God says to walk as wise. God says that we are to look at other people and express their needs in our own lives to show them the importance that they have, because in so doing, they're going to reflect it back upon us. If I have myself reflecting out to 50 people and showing goodness, and those 50 people are reflecting it back to me, who gets the more? Who gets the more, people? That's living as wise. Give everything you have outwardly, and if those people are in Christ, they're going to do the same thing back, and you're going to receive 50 times more, 100 times more. I think the Scripture says that if you plant the seeds 30, 60, 100-fold, God will return it into your lap. Wow! What a promise! And that's the way it's meant to work. Live as wise, not as unwise. Don't keep your seed. Don't keep this stuff to yourself. The goodness that God gives you, give it away. He gives you more. And the awesome thing is, not only does God give you more, but the people that you invest in, they give back too. Wow. Pressed down, shaken out, overflowing, more than you can contain or hold. Oh my goodness. How many of you have heard this stuff before come out of pastor's mouth? There's nothing new here. This is the same old revelation that has been happening in my ministry since 1997. Because this is the mandate God gave me. This is the mandate He gives all His pastors. Teach His people how to live. Teach them to be Christians. Teach them what it means to walk in a circumcised life. All right? Moving forward. He says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I think that is one of the greatest aspects. Do you realize, because the days are evil, that we have great opportunity? We have great opportunity because there is so much evil going on in the world. There are so many people who are in need that we don't have to look. They'll find us. They'll find us. All you have to do is turn around. When you're done with that one, turn around again. You don't have to move from the spot. How many people out there right now, how many of you know 10 people in your life that are having trouble? Every one of us can raise our hands. Every one of us. Every one of those persons is an opportunity. An opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. An opportunity to bring them out of darkness and into light. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Man, share the hope you have. Because our hope is not in this world, amen? Our hope is in the world after. Our hope is in eternity where we get to be with God and He makes all things new. I don't know about you, but I love that idea. I haven't had a new car in 20 years. When I get to heaven, that's going to be one of the first things I ask God for. I want a new car, Dad. Do you think He'll give me one? No, because I won't need it. I'll be able to go wherever I want to just by thinking it. Boof, there. You know, I want to be on the top of Mount Rainier. Boof, there. Lord, I want to go to Saturn. Boof, there. Wow. Won't need a car. Won't need a bus. Won't have to buy a ticket. It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. But God makes all things new. And in that reality, He's going to help us to help others get new as we take the opportunities that are there before us. Next portion. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, I think this is so funny. We had a professor when I was in college, and he stood there, and he was giving a lecture. He had us all pumped up. Man, we wanted to be in the will of God. We wanted to do what God wanted us to do. We wanted to see the miracles happening, you know, the laying on of hands, and people are falling down, and legs are growing, and, you know, oh, man, he had us so pumped up. He says, how many of you want to be in the will of God? Everybody in the whole auditorium. Yeah! He says, great, you are. What a letdown. Because it was like, He's right. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are in God's will. It's what you're doing with that will that makes the difference. Do you believe what He says? Are you operating in truth? Are you walking in spirit? Are you allowing God to transform your heart to the heart of Jesus Christ? Jesus did the things He did because He submitted to the Holy Spirit. We're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit because we're not submitting to God. Can I get an amen? But may we, through the blood of Jesus Christ, realize that as we give ourselves over to Him, that blood flows through our veins in a spiritual manner. And in the spirit world, all things physical are created. God spoke it and it happened. And that same power is in us in Jesus Christ. Are we going to simply let that power fall to the floor and be of no avail? Or are we going to pick it up? And are we going to see that God's will is in us for everything that He has for us, but we have to be willing to submit to it, which means changing our plans. Oh, my heavens, but I have this on my schedule. And, Pastor, I just want to go there and I want to do that. And, you know, oh, I've worked all my life for this. Yeah? How about your eternity? How much work have you done on your eternity? I dare say none of us have done any good work on our eternity. There's only one who has. And are we going to submit to Him that we may claim the eternity that He has for us? Wow, there's something that'll preach. Now, how much of this is new to you? You see what I mean? How much of this have I taught you? How much of this have we gone over? And God says, teach it again. But now, don't pull any punches. Let them know you're teaching it. Okay? Don't teach them around the block. Okay? That's going around the mountain once again. We got to change it up because otherwise they're going to think I'm teaching the same sermon. Well, now you're being told. How many of you feel like you missed the boat somewhere along the line? I know I have. I'm not afraid to admit it. Because I don't submit to all things in God. But that does not mean I'm not supposed to try. You know, and you've all heard me say this. How many times have you heard me say this? My mom used to tell me I was the most trying person she ever met. I would tell her, "I'm trying, Mom, I'm trying." I have learned that in Christ Jesus, that's the best thing we can be. Because ain't none of us going to get there on our own. Amen. But if we open this book, oh my heavens, what it avails to us. And that's my point. You want to know the will of God? You want to work the will of God? You want to be in the will of God? Open the Word of God and find out what His will is. I am so tired of people in our world, and I'm not talking about you folks because most of you know better already. They'll say to me, "But the Bible says," and then they'll give me something that is so far off the wall, and I'll look at them and I'll say, "Where is that?" "Well, I don't know, but I was told," if you didn't read it, it ain't in there. All right? Read it, then tell me what it says. Then we'll have a conversation. Because there is so much that we are told is in there, okay? One of the most wonderful ones, I love this. My brother-in-law used to tell me this all the time. "Well, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves." And I just looked at him and I would laugh and I would say, "If you can find that in there, I'll give you $100." You know, he never took me up on the offer, but he kept saying it. I told him, I said, "It's not in there. That scripture is not in there." We need to understand. You want to know the will of God? Open the Word. Read what it says, what it really says, and then submit. One more. I'm not going to get three chapters done today. One more. Oh, and this is a good one here, huh? This is one that, you know, pastor makes wine, right? We're going to talk about this one. It says, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, why is it telling us not to get drunk on wine? Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Very good reason, okay? I tell my kids this when I'm teaching this in confirmation class. I tell my married couples this when I'm teaching premarital counseling. It says that we're not supposed to get drunk on wine. What do we call our stores here in Pennsylvania where we buy liquor and wine? Wine and spirits. Why do you think we call it wine and spirits? It goes back to when the Indians were here, because the Indians would drink that stuff and they swore that there were evil spirits in that bottle, because when you drank that stuff, it took a charge of you and you did all kinds of weird, funny stuff that you wouldn't have done on your own. So it was filled with spirits, all right? It's speaking this. In other words, we're not to be controlled by something else, but we are to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, because other spirits, you know, whether it be whiskey, whether it be drugs, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be pornography, whether it be whatever it is, will lead us to destruction. But the Spirit of God will lead us to righteousness. The Spirit of God will lead us to eternity. Now, does that mean that I cannot have one drink of wine? No, it does not mean that. You know, I think it's most amazing, because I've talked with pastors and, you know, they say to me, well, you know, it says in the Scripture, and I'll say to them, well, you know, it says in the Scripture that Jesus took the wine at the Last Supper and he drank of it and then he gave it to the others around him. I said, so Jesus drank wine. Oh, no, that was just strong grape juice. Really? You're going to go there? You're going to claim that kind of ignorance? It's not talking about abstaining. It's talking about being submitted to something, all right? Jesus partook of wine. What's the big deal? There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Now, there are some things that we should never partake of, because those things, even in the smallest amount, can be harmful to us and lead to destruction. Am I right, Brother Bob? He knows. I know. Because addiction to drugs is not something that started out this big. It started out something this little, and we were controlling it. Right, Brother Bob? Until all of a sudden, it was a green, hairy monster this big, and it had us on the mat, beating us up every day of every day of every day. And that's what some of these things do, these spirits that are being spoken of. So we need to get rid of them. And in Christ Jesus, we have the ability to do so, because he has set us free from the law of sin and death. We can deny ourselves. Now, is it going to be easy? No. One of the hardest things we have to do is say no to ourselves. When you're up at 12 o'clock in the morning and that chocolate cake is calling your name, Whitey. Oh, yours isn't chocolate cake? Well, we'll figure out what it is. His is chili. Why? You're not sleeping at that time? Oh, well. But it does, doesn't it? It calls us by name. And we just have to go to it. Wrong. When that sin calls your name, remember God has given you a new name that only God himself knows. And that's in the book of Revelation. And we need to remember that when Satan calls this earthly name, we don't have to answer to it, because God knows our heavenly name. And that's the only name that we need to respond to. Can I get an amen? When you think about where you are and where life's going to take you as people in your homes, parents, women, mothers, fathers, kids. I didn't even get to touch on that stuff. What did I tell you? I thought I'd get through this. but we're just going to wait because I told Miss Sally we're going to take the home, and then next week we're going to do work, and the following week we're going to do church, and then we're going to come back around, and what we didn't get, we're going to get. Because we're going to be looking at this moving into and through Lent. Because once we get done looking at the circumcision of the heart, and then we need to start looking at how do we heal from the things of the past which have hurt us, have harmed us, and have left marks in our lives. How many of us have scars? How many of us have scars from our past? You better believe we do. But we have to remember they don't control us. They don't control us. But we need to name them. Name them in heaven. And we're going to learn about that. My prayer for you this day is that as we begin to walk in this living our life with a circumcised heart, that you're going to see that it is so worthwhile that you don't want anything else. Because the stuff of this world just keeps pulling us down. It just keeps adding more stuff, doesn't it? And you finally think you're getting above water. You're starting to tread water. Oh boy, starting to look. And all of a sudden, here comes another tsunami. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our lifeboat. You know, he doesn't just send out one of those little lifesaver thingies. Man, he sends the USS Jesus Christ. And we are saved. And saved from ourselves. Isn't that amazing? So today, I pray as we head on to the 12 o'clock hour, and I need to stop because Miss Sally needs to have her choir. So this day, let us pray and ask God to help us with that circumcised heart. Gracious Lord our God, though we've not finished this word, we know there's more yet to come. And Father, isn't that the glory of who you are? As the lady, when she passed away, told the pastor, make sure that I have a fork in my hand, that people may understand that where I am, there is more yet to come. Because, Lord, the best is yet to be. So, Father, we ask that as you move in our lives and help us to prepare, help us to walk, help us to be people with a circumcised heart, to be transformed by the Word of God, as we prepare to come into this year of 2017, a year of promise, a year of blessing, that, Lord God, you would open our hearts to receive from you that blessing, that we could walk away from the old, walk into the new, to become that new man of faith, that new woman of faith, that new youth of faith, that each and every one of us would receive from you the blessings that would help us transform our lives from what was to what will be, that we may be with you always, even in this age, unto the end of time. And God's children say, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.